Meeting of KUA, would you join in my Pledge of Allegiance?
Of the United States of America, to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Now we'll go to awards and presentations. Jim?
Yes, and our first is for degree recognition, and our first one is like to have ask Matt to come up here.
I just was reading at that cluster. It was funny.
And Matt, we're recognizing you for the tremendous work you've done while you were working here full time, and achieved your master's in engineering in power systems engineering, Worcester Polytechnical Institute.
Sir.
Congratulations! I know that's a tough
Thank
job.
You.
How many? How long have you been working on that?
About 5 years.
5 years.
Wow.
Oh, it feels good to get to this side
yeah.
of it, doesn't it? Okay. Well, we have a little something to remind you that not only did you get your degree, but you got it while you were working here.
Right. Congratulations.
And we're proud of you.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Nice.
And
it's quite an achievement.
Yes.
Yeah. Thank you. You know that better than we do, right?
Congratulations,
Thank
Matt.
You.
Mike Koss, where are you at? There you go. Good. Mike, you got 2 degrees at the same time. How did you do that?
4 years.
4 years.
4.5 years.
Yeah, that's Mike was awarded the an associate's degree in electrical transmission technology and also an associate's degree in electrical power technology from Bismarck State College. And I also hear that he did such a bang-up job, you're now teaching there. Is that right?
Yeah,
yeah not
yeah,
so.
A little.
A little bit.
2 classes.
Well, that's,
wow.
That's a little.
Something.
Yeah, that's great. Well, we're proud of you and what you're contributing to the industry, both here and in academia, too. But, again, we have a little something to remind you of all the work you went through while you were
Well, we have two little
here.
Somethings.
Two little somethings.
So there.
There you go.
Thank you so much for everything you do.
Appreciate
Congratulations.
It.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Mike. And our chairman, Jeannie Van Meter, and I would like to ask that Yaritza Quiñones come forward, please.
Yaritza is being recognized for 5 years of service. We started as a part-time customer service rep. She is a customer service representative, too. Congratulations, Yaritza.
Thank you.
Thank you for that half decade of service. And
definitely, many more to go.
Yeah, that's right. And also Nicholas Rivera. This is he's not here. Where is your cousin, by the way?
My cousin.
This is Leticia Rivera. Oh, is he your brother? Oh,
oh my gosh.
Well, we'll make sure that Nicholas is given his.
I know. I can imagine.
I didn't mean to do that.
That pretty color on.
Hey, Leticia. I didn't mean to embarrass you like that, but I'm sure glad I did.
Oh my gosh.
But anyhow, we'll make sure that Nicholas gets his award sometime in the near future at an appropriate place by his department head, Annalise Rojas. Hey.
Annalise is being recognized for 5 years of service tonight. She's a part-time customer service representative, too. Congratulations, Annalise.
There you go.
Picture what you got.
I know, right?
Thank you.
All right.
Congratulations. Thank you. And Marcus Diaz.
He's not here.
He's not here. Okay. And Nicholas Bright.
Hi.
How you doing, Nick?
Good.
Nick is being recognized for 10 years of service. He started as a part-time meter reader. He is now our Senior Revenue Protection Specialist. Congratulations, Nick.
We like it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. let's see, I don't know if I know how to pronounce this.
Who is this person?
Suzanne Postans. Suzanne Postans. Is she from France? Are you from France?
Yes. I am. Susan Postans is being recognized for 10 years of service. She's our Vice President of Customer Service. Congratulations, Susan.
And hopefully you won't be so nervous when you come back.
Yeah.
Can you believe that? And now we have Merlin Carr. Yeah. Merlin's our senior recognee tonight with 15 years of service.
She is being recognized for 15 years, yes, and she's our teller supervisor. Congratulations, Marilyn.
Thank you, Marilyn. And Jeff, could you please come forward? All right, come on. Let's hear it. Yeah. You know, I think somebody very important is trying to capture our picture here. This is that was Jeff's real boss. Now I want you to know. Okay, but you know, being recognized as an employee of the month any place is a tremendous honor. But here at KUA, I think it's a special honor because our employees of the month are selected by their fellow employees, which is really a credit to you. I think that's great. But Jeff, I want to thank you, and I want to introduce you to our board of directors, beginning with the chairman of our board, Gene Van Meter.
Okay.
And we have a nice award that you can always remember today by.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for being with us this long.
And our director, Ethel Urbina.
Congratulations. Enjoy a day off with Becky.
Mm. Thank you. And Director Manny Ortega.
It's Mr. Parker.
Thank you.
And Director Kathleen Thacker.
Congratulations. And a check for you.
And Ray Hempel.
Nice.
Director Ray Hempel.
We have a nice way to
much.
Add to your wardrobe.
And our mayor, Jose Alvarez.
How are you doing, sir? Yes, I get a little gift there for us.
And Jeff's been with us a couple years now, haven't you? Just a couple of years?
26 and a half years.
26 and a half.
Who's counting?
And 2 days.
2 days.
Yes,
5 hours.
Jeff's a member of our quarter century club. You all will be a member of our quarter century club when you get to their quarter century, and that'll be a great time, won't it? And the goat wasn't too bad, was it? The goat in the initiation ceremony? Wasn't bad. He doesn't want to tell you about it, but you'll like it too.
We don't do that anymore.
Congratulations.
We're very today.
Thanks, Jeff.
Thank you. This is a stand-up show. Now we will call here the audience. Is there anyone in the audience that wishes to address us? Susan's going to come address us? No. If hearing none, we'll go right over to the consent agenda.
Motion to accept.
We have a motion to accept. Do I have a second?
Second.
We have a second. Any questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, like sign. It passes. Public hearing. There's none. We have an informational presentation from the Historical Society, but we'll wait until they leave, and then you can come up and do your presentation. Okay, Chris?
So with us today, we have Donita Dampier. She's the Executive Director of the Osceola County Historical Society, and she's going to make a presentation.
Good afternoon. Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to share with you some of the things that the Historical Society has been doing over the past year since we met with you last time. I guess this is my direction for the next slide. Does that? Yep. Okay. Perfect. This is a view of our Pioneer Village at Shingle Creek. I don't know how many of you have been out there recently, but we've added a few buildings. So the history of the Pioneer Village was that we started in 1989 off of Bass Road over in Kissimmee, just a couple miles from where we are now. We relocated in 2014, and at the time we relocated eight historic buildings that date to the late 1800s, and then we since have added new structures. And let's see if I missed anything here. We were awarded a $500,000 state grant, and with that we added four replica buildings, and I'm going to share those with you in a moment. And even more recently, we were awarded an $80,000 state grant to add another replica building. And with the $500,000 grant, these are the buildings that we added. We added an 1800s replica schoolhouse, an 1800s replica train depot, a pavilion that seats 150 people, and an 1800s replica historic church. All of the buildings that you see there besides the pavilion are replicas of historic structures that were actually in the Narcoosi area. We had some really great historic images of those buildings and were able to replicate those. They're completely furnished inside, and the church actually is completely furnished as well. It also has air conditioning for the brides. Mm-hmm. So we wanted to make sure that people were comfortable if they wanted to rent the facility for weddings and such, baptisms and things like that.
So everything, is the pavilion rentable too?
It is, yes. And the entire facility actually is available for rent for functions. So the most recent grant was an $80,000 cultural facilities grant from the state of Florida. And with that, we replicated the H.E. Page store, which you see here, under construction and the final version. And that store was also in the Narcoosi, the little village of Narcoosi. So we've kind of just recreated Narcoosi from the late 1800s at our Pioneer Village. So we do field trips at our location, as well as our largest event of the year is our Pioneer Day event. And let's see, we have a little video I'm going to play for you. Oh, maybe not. Do you know how I...
Step back in time on November 11th and 12th during the 25th annual Pioneer Days, a free festival hosted by the Osceola County Historical Society. This free event features fun for the whole family, live music, pioneer activities for kids, delicious barbecue, and so much more. So pack up the family and hit the trail to Pioneer Days, November 11th and 12th at the Pioneer Village on Babb Road in Kissimmee. For more info, visit osceolahistory.org. Funding provided by Visit Florida and Experience Kissimmee.
So this is the one day a year that we open up the Pioneer Village for free. It's free admission for families. We've had upwards of over 2,000 people at the event in one day. It's a really fun event, and let's see. We also do a field trip day, which is either the Thursday or Friday prior to our Pioneer Day event, and we keep our reenactors that we use on Pioneer Day to come in for that event as well, and we bring in a lot of local school children that come in for the field trip on that day. They get... things in addition to the regular living history field trips that we do with the reenactors. So they still have all the hands-on activities that we typically do for field trips, but they're enhanced with the additional reenactors that we have for this event. At the Osceola County Welcome Center and History Museum, if you haven't been out to this location, I encourage you to come. We have a great display of exhibits on Osceola County history that go back to early Spanish and early Seminole time periods in Osceola County, all the way up to the early 1900s to 1950s and 60s with the Silver Spurs. We at this location, we also have temporary exhibits that we display. About three times a year, we change out our temporary exhibit gallery. And with those exhibits, we also do some programming. We do opening receptions that correspond with each of those exhibits. And we also do a paint night, which is kind of like painting with a twist if you've ever been to one of those. But they're all based on the exhibit that we're showing at the time. So I would love to have you come out to one of those events. We also have a nature preserve. It's the Mary Kendall Steffi Nature Preserve. And this was donated by the Mary Kendall Steffi family in 1989 when the original location of the Pioneer Village was donated to the organization as well. And this is about 8 acres that connects up to the Shingle Creek Regional Park. We have trails and a boardwalk there as well. Across the street from there is our original location of the Pioneer Village. Now we refer to it as the Spence Pavilion and Research Center. And that location was donated in 1989 as well by Ruth and Carl Spence. And they donated their family home along with 5 acres. And at the same time, the Lanier Cracker House was donated to the organization and moved from the Ham Brown Road area to this location. Now that we've moved all the historic buildings, we still utilize this space for our research and artifact storage. We have 2,200 square feet of climate-controlled artifact storage, where we house thousands of artifacts that pertain to Osceola County's history. And we also have an archival library there that's open by appointment. You can come in and find court documents that date back to the late 1800s. Really interesting readings, lots of history books on Osceola County and Florida in general. And coming up this Saturday, I think some of you are joining us for our annual Dine with the Departed event. We're really excited. This is the ninth event that we've put on, or the ninth year, and it's a dinner in Rose Hill Cemetery where you get to meet some of Osceola County's past residents. We do a really nice dinner under a tent, and then you get to take lantern-lit tours through the cemetery and meet some of our past residents. So I'm really excited for you to come out. I know some of you have been before. It's a really fun event. It's a very unique fundraising event for the organization. It's also our largest fundraising event of the year. And we now have venue space rental, which this is a short commercial. Go ahead. Sorry.
If unique is what you seek for your next event, consider the Osceola County Welcome Center and History Museum, or the Pioneer Village at Shingle Creek. Fall in love with the facility's rustic charm that complements the area's natural beauty. These extraordinary venues provide a welcome and interesting change to the average event space. Host up to 150 guests for your next celebration, including baby or bridal showers, weddings, or birthday parties. Book today.
And we're really excited to be able to offer these really unique venues to our residents and local businesses to host events. We are partnering with other nonprofits in the area as well to host their events at our location. Lots of business meetings in our Welcome Center and things like that. So I would love to, if any of you want to come out for a tour, I'd love to show you around and just show you exactly what we have. And that is the end of my 5-minute presentation. I hope I didn't go over. And I'd be happy to entertain any questions that you might have.
I just have a comment. Help Now has actually rented your whole venue out there for their wine tasting.
Yes.
So that'll be interesting.
Yeah, we're really excited to help them out, too, and have them come.
Very nicely. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. And he said 150. Is that about the max that you can handle in an event?
No, so 150 is what we can see in our pavilion,
oh.
Which we have about 10 acres of grounds that really we can host a lot more people. We're looking into a festival right now that's going to hold about 2,000 to 5,000 people at the Pioneer Village.
Yeah, I thought you could have a lot more, like when it's picnic style, I guess.
Yes, yeah, just in the pavilion we have seating for 150.
Okay, good.
And our church seats 50 people, so very small intimate weddings and baptisms there.
That's great.
All right. Well, thank you so much. We really appreciate KUA's support in all of the things that we do, and you all have been really helpful to us and have always supported us. So we really appreciate all of your support. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Old business. There's no old business. New business. None. Staff reports. We have a quarterly financial report.
Good afternoon, Madam Chair, Board. My name is Kevin Crawford, Vice President of Finance and Administration here at KUA. I'd like to go over the results of our first quarter for the fiscal year 2017-2018 with you this afternoon briefly. You have in your packets more detailed information, so we will focus on the highlights in today's presentation for you. You will see that compared to the budget and to the previous fiscal year 16 and 17, we are somewhat over on megawatt hour sales. We are roughly 9%. You may recall that back in October or thereabouts. So we got a little bit of a cold snap at the end of October and some cooler weather in the first quarter, provided some robust sales in terms of megawatt hours for us. So we are starting the year off in a good position. We also want to let you know that, as we've done in the last couple of presentations, to let you know that we are achieving the goals that you have, or the fiscal policies that you've set forth before us at KUA, and while achieving a positive net income quarter to date, or for year to date rather, we are at $13.8 million and positive net income, as well as meeting all of your fiscal policies. In the realm of improving customer service, we are remaining competitive in our strategic year by being in the bottom one-third of all utilities in the state of Florida while achieving our goals for the utility, and we have done that as well, so we're happy to report that to you also. Moving into some more details with respect to the financial statement, you'll see that metered sales revenue compared actual year-to-date to the budget is a positive variance of about $4.2 million. As I stated earlier, we're at about 8% over where we thought we would be in terms of revenue sales. Our cost of power adjustment, a little bigger, and actually it's for a good reason. So we're about $11 million higher than where we thought we would be. And this is, as you recall from our meeting in December, our workshop, this is a pass-through of fuel to the customer through the COPA mechanism. And because fuel expenses were lower for this past quarter, and we'll get into some details about why that is, we were able to return $11.3 million more back to our customers because of lower fuel expenses. And so we did that by utilizing some rate stabilization funds, about $6.4 million than we thought we would be at this time. So it's actually good news for our customers that we were able to keep their fuel expenses low or lower. So we are fairly close to where we thought we'd be in terms of total operating revenue for the year to date.
Kevin, can I stop?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
Yes, ma'am.
With if we're giving them lower rates, are we letting them know that we're like that they're lower rates because of how we're handling things? I mean, that'd be good PR if we would say, if you'll notice your bill is lower this month because of such and such.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I believe we do communicate with our customers from time to time. I don't know on that specific item, but that may be helpful to do that.
I think it's good for them to know that we're in the lower third, and because of we work to be there, it's
yes.
not, it doesn't just happen.
Yes.
And I think it'd be good for them to know that, because I know I got something on Facebook today about their electricity was out, but the people across the street were, what is this KUA? And it's like,
Well, we send out a communication to our customers in each one of their bills. It used to be called the Energy Informers. We're doing something right on the bill at this point. Is that correct? And that's a good point that we can make.
Just highlight what we're doing for them.
Thank yeah.
you. Moving to the fuel and purchase power, you'll see there, as I mentioned earlier, we are about $4.2 million less on the demand charges than we thought we would be. That's due to a couple of things. Demand charges, where sort of the short-term fixed component of our bill resides through the All Requirements Project, and we were able to renegotiate a couple of contracts and realize some savings with respect to the demand charge, and that's a reason or part of the reason why you see some savings there. But then some more good news and on the energy charge, and there was a little bit higher production of natural gas throughout the country and a little bit less usage in our area of the country in terms of natural gas. And as you recall from our workshop, we're about 85% natural gas reliant in our total portfolio mix. And so as natural gas prices go, so tend to go our rates. And so here's evidence of that natural gas prices being somewhat lower, a higher supply, lended itself to us having a $5.2 million positive variance in energy charges. The $1.2 million we were able to put back into the bulk system rate stabilization for future use and so that we might reduce customer fuel expenses in the future. So that's sort of a savings account for us that we're able to put that money aside, and we can use that at a future time. Total fuel and purchase power, then, you'll see a variance of $8 million to the positive for a total effect there. And operating revenue minus fuel, we're about $7.8 million ahead of where we thought we would be. through the departmental O&Ms, you'll see that in IT, we had what I'd call a false positive there in terms of a variance. At the beginning of the fiscal year, we renew a lot of our maintenance contracts and software contracts. Those all get paid at the beginning of the year, but we utilize the benefit throughout the year. So that will even itself out, so that's more of a timing issue. And then you'll notice that on the E&O, there's a $712,000 variance, and that's largely related to more storm expenses that we're still incurring as a result of Hurricane Irma that we are paying in that first quarter. And then total operating revenue there, you'll see budgeted $13 million net operating revenue. We achieved $20 million, so we're for a positive variance of about $6.9 million. And all in other operating expenses, I won't spend a lot of time here. These were all pretty close to where we expected they would be in terms of budget. So our change in net position or net income for the period is $13.8 million for a positive variance of about $6.9 million. Our investment portfolio, this just gives you a breakdown of how we've invested the funds of KUA. You can see here that the State Board of Administration, the SBA, still comprises the largest component of our investments, and those are all short-term, as you'll see in the next slide while we do that, but the rest of that money is allocated through various types of instruments. But again, the SBA, which is short-term, is where we keep the majority of our funds. And in doing so, we were able to achieve year-to-date through December for this fiscal year a 1.34% annualized effective rate of return, which is fairly close to our index for the SBA. And you'll see that the maturity lives for those investments in the portfolio all very short-term, and that's why the SBA is a short-term instrument or pool of instruments, and so we keep that there because, as you're aware too, we've got a lot of debt service payments coming due within the next year, and we're going to utilize that money short-term to pay that debt off. We don't want to get hedged into a long-term investment and then have to pull it out, so we're keeping that money liquid. Moving then ahead to the materials management. I think I shared with you last month that we were going to start highlighting some of the other areas within finance besides just the number crunchers. Last time we talked about fleet. This time I wanted to talk about materials management. And these are the folks who are responsible for getting all the transformers and the poles and everything out and through and to the departments whenever they need them and in the order that they need them. And this is just some pictures of the Lackey warehouse or the Lackey Center where you see there the majority of our stock is kept in that building. We just went through some renovations there last year, as you may recall, where there was a roofing placed in there, new roofing. We had some insulation, new lighting. So a lot of renovations taking place. I think that project is still ongoing. We have some other parts happening in the coming fiscal year. But that's where we keep the majority of our warehouse items. And in addition to that, we have about 6 acres of land that we have out on the other side that you drive through, and you see the pole laid downs and all those areas where we keep those materials laid out there as well for the items that we don't have room for in Lackey. This is just to introduce you to the materials management staff, and these five gentlemen are the folks who manage that group. Jorge Carrera, who is here with us tonight, is the manager of materials management. Happy to answer any and all questions you have about materials management. And Clarence Worthy, who is his supervisor over there, and Roma Luciano, Hector Pena, and Joshua Day are all the inventory clerks that work in that area as well. So we're proud to have them over there taking care of us. And as I shared earlier, that square footage that you saw at Lackey and the 6 acres that we have, that's about $9.3 million. So those five gentlemen manage about $10 million worth of inventory on any given day. As you can see, they're the vast majority of that in transformers and T&D equipment that we use to keep the lights on and supply our customers the things that they need when they need them. And that's all that I have. Happy to answer any questions this afternoon.
Any questions for Kevin?
The reimbursement that we're expecting from FEMA eventually, is that reflected in our budget somewhere?
It is not. The challenge that we, in terms of budgeting a FEMA reimbursement, as you can have an estimate of what you think that they may reimburse, but we won't know until we actually get everything submitted to them and FEMA makes a decision, because part of that is state reimbursed as well. And so we don't like to, and our accountants, our auditors don't like us to book any types of accruals for that until we have some degree of certainty about what we expect to receive back from FEMA. So we may be able in a position at the end of this fiscal year to book that amount, but we have not at this point because we still have a great deal of uncertainty about where FEMA will end up in total amount. Thank you.
Any other questions or comments? Thank you. That was a very good presentation. Very
thank you,
understandable.
Thank you.
Next, we have presentation of the AMI project update.
Good afternoon, directors. Back in January, I was here giving you an update on where we were with AMI. At that time, I had indicated that we were in negotiations with the highest evaluated bidder. What I didn't tell you at that time was that the highest evaluated bidder is Landis & Gear. Landis & Gear is a reputable firm within both the power industry and the water industry, providing metering and metering type services. So they are a good company. In their proposal, they provided us with an initial project schedule that calls for most of the network communication equipment that's going to be utilized to talk to the meters to be installed within the first 12 months, followed by 12 to 24 months of meter deployment. Now, there will be some overlap, but we'll work with them or whoever we end up with once we get a signed contract. Just to tell you where we are with the contract negotiations, since we last talked, we've made some significant progress on some major terms and conditions. We had some non-negotiables that we're insisting on. For example, we wanted a performance bond for 100% of the project for both the system and the meters. We don't anticipate having any problems, but we wanted that level of protection, so there was some back and forth with the vendor on that, and we were successful in negotiating that. There are some outstanding technical issues that we're still working on with them. We've got a meeting with them on Friday, and Jeff and his folks will be trying to hammer through those last few issues. I don't want to say they're minor because they're not. We need to be 100% comfortable before we bring a recommendation to you, but I am optimistic that we're going to be able to work through those last remaining technical issues. And then if that all goes well, we'll be bringing a board recommendation to you next month. Okay. I do, you know, there this project is so complex because it touches all of our organization. It touches Susan's group, it touches IT, it touches my group, Grant and Legal. There's not anyone that hasn't really been involved in this project, and so it's been a really collaborative and detailed process. And part of what I told you we did back in January is we felt we needed some help, so we went out and we engaged a firm in Colorado called Extragy, who has proven to be very beneficial as we've gone through this procurement process. I've actually got a representative from that firm here who's been working with our team, Priscilla Zoraido, and her and her team have done a wonderful job in helping because they've done a number of these procurement processes for AMI, and so I just wanted to recognize her. But if all goes well, we'll be bringing you something back next month. And with that, I'll take any questions that you may have.
Your questions?
No. Okay.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
You're saying that it's going to be over 2 years before we can get this working?
Yeah, the network of communication, based on the discussions we've had with Landis & Gear, they think that they can provide us all the equipment and assist us in getting all the communications equipment installed, which our folks, our T&D folks, will have to install that equipment, coupled with the work that we've got going on in other places like Domingo, Toro, and whatnot. And so we've got that, and then I think the max meters that we can change out per week, I think, is 1,000. So, I mean, you're in a year and a half, and that we've got some 75,000 meters to change out. Susan's telling me 80 by it's all said and done. So about 1,000 meters is about what we can do a week.
Pretty good to me. It's how many men working? What, 4 or 5 men working on it?
Just on a regular basis, but yes.
I mean, it's not your whole crew. It's you're going to have
correct, because we need to continue today's business.
Right, right. Big undertaking. Thank you. Okay, there being no other business, our attorney, Grant, would you like to?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good evening to you and directors. First, I want to thank thank you for the excellent rally that we had in Washington last week. I thought it went really well. I was particularly gratified by the give and take we had with staff members and Congress and members and Senator Nelson's warm welcome to us, and the excellent conversation I thought we had with Senator Rubio's office on this really problematic poll attachment bill. So thank you. Your presence obviously means a great deal to the folks in Washington, so that couldn't have gone better, really. And then I thought that we would continue our sunshine in a minute, if you're up for that. It won't be too long. You'll recall that last month we discussed, where I presented on the prohibition on conversations that should be in a public meeting that happened during a recess, because you're not in meeting then, so you can't talk about something that should be discussed at the meeting, and also sidebar conversations that the rest of the room can't hear are also discouraged, as not in the spirit of the Sunshine Law. That's what we discussed last month. What I have for you tonight is a hybrid, and it involved an alleged violation of the Public Records Act by county commission members of a nearby county during a public open meeting. And you may recall it was fairly covered in the local news. There was a sick pay issue, a proposed ordinance brought to neighboring county commission. And while it was being presented to that county commission, there were lobbyists opposed to the measure representing organizations in the surrounding area that were texting county commissioners while the presentation was going on during the board meeting. to make matters worse, some of the commissioners deleted their texts. So folks found out that this was going on. They made a public records request. We want to see all the texts that the lobbyists sent you, decision makers, policy makers, elected officials, during your meeting. And some of the county commissioners said, I'm sorry, but they're deleted. Well, that is a violation of the Sunshine Law. If you text each other that, are you available for dinner tonight, that's arguably not a public record. Anything beyond that is not only a public record, but if it were between you, it could be a violation of the Sunshine Law. And that's the danger of that, is that not only was that a violation of the Public Records Act, but God forbid that a county commissioner is or any policymaker that's subject to Sunshine would text another member during the meeting, well, what do you think of that? It's just really, really dangerous area, and it was a difficult situation. And for folks that are, these are good folks. These weren't people that went out of their way to try to break the law, but it was a problem for them. And the folks that pursued the litigation actually went after the commissioners individually. So you just don't ever want to be in that situation. We have a policy here that applies to texts that involve KUA business. And what I recommend is, if you ever have any doubt, and like I said, if it's anything beyond, are you going to be there in 5 minutes? How are you feeling today? Anything involving KUA, email it to yourself on your KUA account. Our system, I believe, it keeps emails at least 5 to 7 years. So if anyone needs them, we've got them. There's not going to be a violation. And really, to make it easier on yourself, if you think it's something substantive, you can describe it as with a subject line in the email, text regarding blank. Obviously, don't text each other unless it's a social thing that has nothing to do with KUA. As a case in point, you'll notice that when you get emails from staff, there should be a block that says, please don't hit reply all. Hitting reply all can result in an unintended violation of the Sunshine Law. And it can. So it applies to emails as well. Really, it's best to keep all conversations involving KUA here. And if you're sending texts or public records about KUA business, don't destroy them. So with that, that's all I've got.
Yeah, I suggest they were very stupid to have their phones on during a meeting. I just can't imagine anybody being... It just sounds very stupid to me.
And shame on the lobbyists for putting them in that spot as well. Shame on the whole thing is just...
To have a phone sitting here that you're actually talking, you know, texting during a meeting, you're not you're not giving your full attention to whatever's going on in the meeting.
That point, I think that point was made as well.
Yes, right. Okay.
Thank you, Matt.
That was good.
Thank you.
General Manager, Jim?
Yeah, I just wanted to point out that Grant's presentation is fantastic, and hopefully he will keep it coming again and again. And he says, but remember, he said, don't do this and don't do that. Really, what he meant was, don't do this if you want to not violate the law. What you do is up to you, and it's not up to us to tell you what to do and what not to do. It's to tell you what the implications are. And so that was Grant's full intention there. He's not your policeman. He's the guy that's trying to help you out.
I think we all realize that.
Yeah, good. Okay, good. Okay. The other thing is we're having we got our reminders up here that you received, but we're having our, two things. One is we're having an employee memorial service this Friday at 10 a.m. at City Hall for all the city and KUA past deceased retirees and employees. And then we have our strategic planning meeting next month. It's probably not going to be quite as extensive as it was last year in terms of time requirements, but last year you desired to come in a little bit early as opposed to running the meeting late, and we can try it with our 3:30 meeting just as we currently have it and have it just following the regular business, or we can start it ahead of that at some time a little bit if that's your desire.
What he's saying is that with the board meeting and the strategic planning, last year we started, I think it was 2:30?
Something like that, yeah.
We started at 2:30 so that we didn't run till 6:30, 7 o'clock at night during the regular meeting. And do we want to continue that to do it earlier this year?
That sounds like a good idea. It worked out well last year.
It did.
We got out on the meeting in time.
So I think we started a little earlier last year, but it was a new process too. You know, we can start at 2:30, and what we can do is that we have to start our regular meeting at time certain.
Yeah, you told us that's last year. We will do the strategic planning until 3:30, and if it's not done, we'll finish it after the meeting. That's the way it was last year.
Yeah, that'll be good. Okay, very good. Then we'll have it for 2:30 then, and that's all I have. Madam Chairman.
Okay. We have our directors. We have our illustrious mayor. We have something to share with us today.
Nothing from here.
Nothing? I have, I just had a question more than anything. It's a comment too regarding the rates. Probably controversial at this moment at the end of the meeting, but since I've been here, we have been given back to the customers a return, an adjustment that gets larger and larger every month. Isn't it about time that maybe review the rates and lower them and make a big announcement to the public that will get us a lot of PR for KUA lowering the rates, even if it's 5 seconds, you know, 5 cents, and make it something more permanent? I don't think the gas or the oil is going to go up in price anymore. It looks like the trend is completely downward. So should we be looking into that?
Well, I don't know. We're having tariffs. Tariffs have been brought up, so we might be careful. Kevin, did you want to speak to this? We have tariffs imposed.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Sure.
And thank you for the question. We take a very close look at that on a month-to-month basis. As you know from the board's directive, we're able to adjust that on a monthly basis. We collect in our base rate about, I think it's 0.0923, I believe, Charles, for fuel. And that's sort of that's the standard collection amount that we go through every month. But then at the end of the month, and you recall, it's a sort of a three-month window that we look at. We look at the past month, estimate the current month and how it's going to end, and estimate the future month. because there's so much uncertainty about fuel expenses and fuel prices, they have tended downward, to your point, exactly, that for the vast number of months that we've been doing this, and certainly for the past several years. But we look at that every month, and the COPA mechanism allows us to return that money, and so it's always possible to reduce what we collect in the base rate for fuel. We can take a look at that as your finance staff and make a recommendation to you about how to proceed in that manner. We would rather have the opportunity to collect that and then return that rather than having to ask for it in additional billings later. It makes it is an easier move in terms of our customers and having the ability to provide that back to them. And that's one of the reasons that we tend to do that. And so we try to make that as even as possible for their experience in terms of billing. It gives them a little bit of, I guess, a levelization in terms of what their fuel is. We try to reduce that. And in conjunction, we use the rate stabilization to accomplish that. And so there are several moving parts in there, but we're happy to take a look at that and bring you a recommendation. It has been a while we've collected that same base rate. Charles, you correct me if I'm wrong. And it may be deserving of us taking another look, and we're certainly happy to do that.
Yes, it seems to me that it appears as a favor to the clients, to the customers, to be adjusting their bill and providing them a discount every month than to be honored the price that we charge for the rate, yes, the rate. And so I think maybe, yes, please take a look at it.
We certainly will. Thank you for that.
Yes.
And I kind of agree. I hadn't thought about it, but we brag that our base rate hasn't changed for 20 years or 15 years or whatever. Well, I would say how many months out of the last year or 2 years or whatever have we applied COPA and brought down from the base rate? And how much have we brought down from the base rate? And is there a consistency there that we could level it off? I feel like what we're doing is charging the base rate and giving them part of it back, which probably does look good. I mean, we're at least giving it back, but I've had a bias a long time about us taking more than what we're going to need and putting it in a fund that brings down people's rates 5 years from now. I don't see any reason for our customers to bank money to bring rates down far into the future. I mean, if you've got a little blip, yeah, it's nice to have it there to bring it down a little blip. But if the price of gas doubles, we're going to have to deal with that. And no matter how much our little pot has, rates are going to be determined by the fact that the price of gas has doubled. So I agree. Is there some way to look at the figures and say, well, we could safely go here and then,
or is that safe? And at least get some satisfaction just a minute. That is being looked at.
I think we have to be very careful, though, because we don't want to up and down our rates, because that's why we went to the stabilization, so that the customers it'd be a flow that they know that this is what they're going to have. If you have to go back and raise their rates, it's much worse than having to give them money back.
We're not doing them a favor. It's their earnings.
No, we're not doing them a favor. We're giving them back what they. It's their money. Yeah. But, Jim, did you want to say something?
Well, I basically was just about what you were saying. We can package this any way you want. But remember, every time we change the package, we have to go to the PSC. We have to have a public hearing. We have to and the first step would be to lower the base rate. Okay? So, and that's a public hearing, and that's probably not so bad to swallow to lower the base rate. But if gas prices went up, then you'll have to go to the PSC and go to the public and advertise that you're raising base rates. And the chairman points out that's a difficult thing to endure at times, because it's people don't like you raising their rates, even though you just lowered them a year earlier. You know, they
memories are short.
Yeah, exactly. And we can give that money back as quick as you want it to in the COPA mechanism itself. That's that we don't hold on to that any longer. It's not dependent on where that base rate is as to how much is in the COPA fund. As a matter of fact, the mechanism that this board in the past has devised is automatically gives it back at a certain rate depending on how much is there.
I want to ask Director Urbina, do you feel that it's the amount we have to give back?
Yeah, it's a constant return. You know, it's like,
well, returning is not, is it the returning or is it the amount
that's returned? The amount and the returning. I mean, there is substantial amount of return on an ongoing basis. It's not like it happened 3 months and then ongoing.
With this mechanism in place, this COPA mechanism, if you lower their base rate or you raise the base rate, the bottom line bill to every customer every month is exactly the same. Raising and lowering that base rate is not going to change it. What?
We know that. I know that.
Okay. So
I get a bill every month that shows, $80 if we turn, you know, and then my rate is 300 and something. So my bill is 200 and something, but I always look at it. I get 7 bills, you know, and I look at them and I see all these substantial discounts every single month and every bill, and I'm wondering, maybe we should really.
Let me say, I've never, until just now, had a customer come in and complain about the return of the COPA.
It's not a complaint on the return of the COPA. I'm not sitting here as a customer right now. I'm talking about us taking a look at maybe we should review the rate.
Okay.
Because the constant returning of funds to somebody is like saying, what are they doing? I mean, they're constantly returning money, but they charge me at this way. I mean, somebody else could be thinking the same thing at any point in time.
Possibly. I don't think I stated myself completely accurately. What I was trying to say is I've never had a customer come in and express that they were upset or aggravated with that return. I have had many customers come in and were upset and aggravated by the COPA addition that we have to put on when the base rate is down and there's not enough, so you have to put a positive COPA charge to them. They get real aggravated with
yes,
the positive
would.
Charges.
Director Thacker.
Well, the other thing that kind of goes along with this is the amount of money we have in reserves. Looking at FMPA, when they're saying we've got $10 million and we don't think we should have that much because we don't have great big projects coming up in the future, I know we've got an awful lot in different reserve pockets, so I'd kind of like for us to take a look at that, too, and maybe as part of this, for a while I was concerned about depleting the reserves for COPA, but now I'm kind of more concerned about, have we got too much there? Do we need to be returning even more?
I think we're getting into something where we need a workshop or something where we can't settle it. We have questions.
No.
And, Kevin, I see you're going to go look into it.
Yes, ma'am.
And we're not going to solve it tonight.
No.
But we do have the questions that the directors have brought forward. And if you could bring back something to us in a presentation.
Thank you. We're happy to do that.
Thank
you.
Would you like this to be part of your preliminary budget and goal setting and strategic planning session?
Yes. Very good. Thank you. Here we have another director that might want to.
I got a few questions coming, but I'll save it for the workshop. No. The only comment I have, once again, Grant, thank you for your guidance and leadership in Washington. It was really an outstanding. So thank you for that.
Thank you, sir.
And I just want to thank all our team for doing such a great job and making our job a lot easier. And listening to us and then bringing us back answers to our questions and respecting our questions. I appreciate that. I think we do that. You don't treat us like whatever. You give us that respect that, yes, we will find the answer for you. And so thank you for that. Thank you for my board. I think you've all Y'all do a great job. Thank you for going to Washington, and I wish I could have gone with you. Could not. And with that, meeting's adjourned.
Thank you.